Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
We welcome you into another edition of Inside Boxing Live. I am your host, Dan Canobio. Boxing is back, and we are back here. It's been a little bit of a hiatus, as there has not been any fights on the schedule, but that is in the past, and now we are actually talking about fights here on this show. Top Rank is pulling out all the stops in June and July. We're going to do two shows a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays in June and July. We'll get into all the fights that are upcoming. And all that stuff, talking about some of the fights that I really like. Also joining us on the show here is Shakur Stevenson. Shakur Stevenson is the first main event back. He's the first world champion back when he steps into the ring on June 9th on ESPN. We'll catch up with Shakur Stevenson to talk about what he's going to do now at 130 pounds, whether he's going to stay at 130, go back down to 126 and fight Josh Warrington, the constant comparisons to Floyd Mayweather, and more importantly, his thoughts on everything that is going on in the world today after the brutal murder of George Floyd and the police brutality, something that he has been dealing with his entire life as an African-American fighter. So it's a very important conversation with Shakur Stevenson. He was our guest on the show this week. It took a lot of energy, both physically and mentally, for me to sit down and do this show, given everything that is going on in the country right now. I'm coming to you from Brooklyn, New York. A lot of unrest in the streets here of New York City, and I think that this show will give you a distraction. We're going to talk about boxing, but you know, it's not far from my mind everything that is going on in the world right now, and I think that we need boxing. I think that we need a distraction. I think anything will help at this time. So we're going to talk about some fights, and we have a lot of fights upcoming on the schedule. And also, another announcement that we have, and something that I'm really excited about, is our new partnership with Fubo Sports and Fubo TV. You're going to catch this show now every single week. We had been doing it every other week. Now we're going to be coming to you every single week, Thursday night at 7 p.m. You can catch the show on Fubo Sports channel on Fubo TV. If you don't know anything about it, go check them out on their website and their social media. It's a great partnership, and we're going to be bringing boxing into the forefront because there's going to be a lot of fights this summer. We're going to go from zero to 100 real quick. You know, ton of fights in June, ton of fights in July. I think July we're going to see better matchups. I think July is when we're going to see Eddie Hearn do his fight camp from his backyard. If you saw that, I mean, that was a headline that popped out over the last couple of weeks. Been a lot of weird headlines in the boxing world. Boxing scene has been a mismatch. You know, shout out to Jake Donovan, shout out to Keith Idick and those guys that have to churn out content every single day and come up with headlines when there's actually no fights. So we have fights now. And what I wanted to do is highlight some of these fights that we're going to see in June. These are fights that I think are going to be fan-friendly, fights that I went and looked at the CompuBox numbers that can create fan-friendly fights. You know, these are in no particular order, but these are some of the fights that I really like. As you see, Top Rank is pulling out fights every Tuesday and Thursday, which I think is going to be awesome. I think midweek fights of something that should be around, you know, well before this. But in no particular order, on June 18th, we're going to see Jose Pedraza going up against Mikel Les Pierre. Pedraza doesn't have a lot of punch stats that jump out, but three of his last five fights have been against Lomachenko, Zapata, and Ray Beltran. So the guy has been in there with top tier talent. It's a do or die fight for both guys. Pedraza and Laissez-Pierre, that both of them desperately need wins to get back into contention and to kind of be B-sides, to be honest, moving forward in their career. So that's one fight that I like on June 18th. June 23rd, we're going to see Andrew Maloney against Josh Franco. Now, this is a high-volume fight. Maloney throws 69 punches around. Franco throws 83 punches around. I think this is going to be a great way for fans to kind of learn about the Maloney brothers. We have seen tweets about them. We have heard a lot about them. Two fighters, two twins from Australia. Now we'll be able to see them with our own eyes, and we can make our own judgments on whether we like their fighting styles or not. But Maloney throws a lot of punches. That's Andrew Maloney. Throws 70 punches around. June 25th, I think, is the best card of the slot in June, and that's highlighted by Oscar Negrete going up against Jason Maloney, the twin brother of Andrew Maloney. Negrete is always in good fights. He's a fan-friendly fighter, throws close to 90 punches a round, so you know what you're going to get with him. On the other side, Jason Maloney throws 50 punches a round. He's more of a tactician. So in that fight, you're going to see the classic, you know, brawler versus boxer, and I think that's a good matchup too because Negrete has to get back into the win column, a guy that has been down and out for a few fights now. Talking about guys that have been down and out in the last couple of fights, Isaac Dogbe, remember him? He was the darling of the boxing media after his rise to fame, but he has two straight losses. It's do or die time for Dogbe. Two consecutive losses to Navarrete. He fights Jason Sanchez. Jason Sanchez throws 70 punches around. I like fighters that throw a lot of punches. You're not going to get the biggest and best fights here in June. We know there's a lot of mismatches on here, but these are fights that I think are going to jump out of the screen. Old-fashioned, just turn on the TV and enjoy like a good fight. I think we're going to see that with Dogbe and Sanchez. Sanchez lost a one-sided decision to Oscar Valdez. So he's been in there with good talent. And finally, June 30th, Alex Saucedo versus Sonny Fredrickson. The last we saw of Saucedo, he nearly decapitated Rod Salka. So anytime you can see Rod Salka get beaten all over the ring, I'm all for it. So Alex Saucedo comes back June 30th. There it is, our June schedule for Top Rank. Some really good fights mixed in there, the fights that I think are going to jump out the most. All right, coming up next after the break, our conversation with Shakur Stevenson. Joining me right now here on Inside Boxing Live, you know him. He's the WBO featherweight champion of the world. He's the man that's going to bring boxing back here in 2020 in more ways than one. He's the main event on Tuesday night. Tuesday night fights, June 9th. He is Shakur Stevenson. Shakur, how you doing, my man?
I'm good.
You got big things upcoming here in the boxing world. You're going to be the first main event back. You're going to be the first world champion to step back into the ring. But before we get into the boxing, before we get into business, we have to talk about what's going on in the country right now. There's a lot of unrest and there's a lot of protests going on. I wanted to give you the floor here and give you the opportunity to share anything you like in terms of what's going on after the death of George Floyd. I want to give you this platform to just kind of share anything you've been thinking over the last couple of days. I know a lot of athletes and boxers have been speaking out.
Nah, I think it's a bad situation. I think that but it's a situation that's been going on for a long time. And, like, it's regular because, like, I done got pulled over by cops and I have to be, like, nervous or that type of stuff because I'm black and I feel like police I feel like with the police, I feel like they the biggest gangs. Like, they try to make it seem like us, like the blacks is the gangs, but they are just as much as a gang as some of the gangs that's actually out there. So, like I said, with that situation, it's a sad situation, and I just hope that everything gets better.
Do you feel like there's a change brewing right now? Do you feel like things are different this time? Yes, we had to see another black man get sent to, like, you know, killed for no good reason. But do you feel like tides are turning a little bit?
Yeah, I think that is kind of sounding like it's getting better because I haven't seen this much protesting going on in a while. Like, I've seen a lot. It's been a lot of situations like this that happened before, but I feel like with this situation, it was like the last straw for people, and everybody is actually standing up and taking up for our people. So I understand it.
Okay, let's get into some boxing stuff. You're going to bring the sport back. What does that mean to you to be the first, you know, champion, the first big name to step back into the ring? A lot of fans have been just dying for some boxing. You're going to step in there. What does it mean for you to have this big stage?
I mean, it means a lot to me because I was one of the fights that got canceled during my fight week, and I guess, like, my fight week had got canceled because of, like, the corona. Like, everybody else's fights had got canceled, but mine was, like, I was literally 2 days away from fighting. So it feel good knowing that I'm the first one to bring boxing back I was telling Top Rank and them before that they even came up with this that I should be the first one to come back. And I think I found out in like sometime in May, they told me about June 9th, and I said, forget it, I'm ready. And we tried to get Rafael Rivera, but he couldn't get inside the country in enough time.
Yeah, a lot of fighters are facing this. You know, Top Rank had to kind of put this all together pretty quickly, and they had very limited resources on who they could fight. I just learned that your opponent, Felix Caraballo, is another Jersey guy. He's from Paterson, New Jersey. So we got ourselves like an all-Jersey clash going on here. What do you think about that?
I didn't even know he was from Jersey. I don't know too much about the guy. I'm not even going to lie to you. You just telling me that. That's how I just found out. I ain't know he's from Jersey. But it ain't no all-Jersey clash because it's like I'm the king of Jersey and he just coming to be a part of the show.
Well, how about fighting in with no crowd? I mean, that's going to be something different. Fighters, I know, speaking to them, and they feed off the crowd. They feed off the adrenaline. When you make that ring walk, you know, you look around, you see, you know, who's in the crowd, and you feed off that. What's it going to be like fighting in an arena with no fans?
I mean, I'm going to look at it like it's sparring. I feel like I spar in the gym with no people there. So I'm used to that already. I don't think that's going to play a part. I understand feeding off the crowd and stuff, the energy that the crowd brings to kind of hype people up. And I'm the same way, but we got to deal with what we got to deal with. And I'm glad that I'm the first one back anyway. So everybody going to be watching it on TV. Like everybody going to be, nobody else got nothing else to do. So they going to be watching on TV.
Yeah, you're right. There's going to be a lot of eyeballs on it. And Top Rank did a smart thing by putting you on there. Part of this young revolution of fighters, new champions, you know, 13 fights, you're already a champ. Talk a little about this new generation. You're part of it. This, you know, guys like Teofimo Lopez, guys like Devin Haney, Gervonta Davis, David Benavidez, all under 25 years old. What does it feel like to be this new face of a generation of boxing?
I mean, it feels good to be in the talks with all of them. And I think that I feel like I'm the best up-and-coming boxer out of everybody, if I'm being honest. But I think that I'm the most slept on at the same time. I feel like people don't talk about me as much as they talk about them other people. But I feel like I'm really that person. Like, I'm going to be the one that outlasts everybody.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think you say you're the most slept on? Why do you think so?
Because I be seeing people talk, like they talk a lot about all these other fighters and they hype all these fighters up, don't get me wrong. They try to hype me up too. But I just feel like it's more with them. Like I feel like I'm slept on. Like a lot of people don't look at me high.
Do you think it's because you don't have like a clear rival? Like Gervonta Davis and Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia, Teofimo Lopez, they could all fight each other in the same weight class. So they all kind of talk trash to each other on Twitter. You know, fans are choosing sides on who they want to roll with. Having a rival in boxing, how important is that? Do you think maybe that's why, like, obviously your skills speak for themselves, but not having like a rival just yet, do you think that plays into it a little bit?
Maybe it could. I mean, you're probably right about that. It probably do play into it. But I think that, yeah, maybe it do, because they all at like the same weight. They all at like 135, and I'm at mm-hmm. I'm just coming up to 130. So maybe it do. Hopefully, whenever Lomachenko after he fight whoever he fight at 135 and do what he want to do, I hope that it's true that he move back down to 130. That way, me and him could get right, and I could be the one to really beat him.
All right, so talking about 130, this fight's at 130. You're obviously the 126-pound champ. Is that a weight you're going to want to – I know you flirted about saying at 130. Is that something that you're looking at? Because there are some huge fights to be made at 130, just right in the top-ranked family. You know, Oscar Valdez, Miguel Burchell, just to name a few. If you decide to go up to 130 because you can't get any big fights at 126, is that something you've been thinking about? Because there are some really big fights for you there.
Yeah, I mean, this fight is at 130. This fight right here is at 130. So I definitely want to make my name known at 130, but I think that, like how you saying, like it ain't like no big rival, like
right.
It ain't really no big rival there either. I think I'm gonna be the face of the 130 division in like 2-3 fights, so I just gotta sit back, do my thing, and stay patient and wait on it.
Devin Haney said that he could see himself settling in at 154. You know, it's crazy to think because, you know, these guys are just starting out and they're trying to make a name for themselves at those weights. I've actually, you know, we've been around each other. You're pretty tall for your weight. Where do you see yourself settling in one day? What weight?
47.
Yeah, I see that as well.
If he see himself at 54, it's definitely 47 because me and him, like, ever since we was kids, we always, like, one weight class apart. And he always one weight class heavier than me, so. That's crazy. I see myself at 47. He sees himself at 54.
How about this? You know, a lot of media and a lot of fans, too, have been comparing you to Floyd Mayweather. And us at CompuBox, you know, we run the punch stats. And I have some numbers here that I think you're going to really like. Through 13 fights, you're 13-0. Floyd was 13-0. Floyd was getting hit with 7.2 punches a round. You're only getting hit with 4.5 punches per round. So Floyd, they say, is the defensive wizard. You're getting hit with even less than Floyd. What do you think about that?
I think it's true. And I think it's also good that I think that I fought better competition than what Floyd fought at.
Do you like the comparisons to Floyd? I feel like the media is doing that. But is there a fighter that you'd rather be compared to?
Nah, I'd rather be compared to myself. It's cool being compared to Floyd. Like, it's a good thing. Like, I don't think it's a bad thing at all, but I still want to be the first Shakur Stevenson and make my own name for myself. So, And I want to be better than him, actually, to be honest with you. So,
that's a good thing to do. That's a good thing to aspire to. In terms of your other punch stats, you know, you are a very selective of fighter. You throw only 40 punches around, but you land at 45% of your power. With Floyd, since we're talking about Floyd, but Floyd was early on in his career, he was a little more on the offensive side of things. And then as he went up to 140, as he went up to 147 and 154, he became more of a defensive wizard. You already have the defensive stuff. Do you think you're going to be the opposite there? Do you think that your power is going to start showing out as you mature and get a little older?
I'm not sure. I just think that, with that situation, like I said, I feel like the competition that I fought has been, like, better than the competition with Floyd has fought at 13-0. So I think that plays a part in, too, and why, like, at that stage he was throwing more punches or more offensive, if you want to say. But I think that I punch harder than what he did at that state in his career and this state of my career. I think I'll punch hard.
Unfortunately, we don't have numbers for that. You know, we can't measure the punch force. We can give you some other types of numbers, but, you know, that's something that they're throwing out there. That it's pretty quick. They just throw out, like, a Floyd Mayweather comparison there. I don't know what that is. Okay. They throw out a Floyd Mayweather comparison just like that. But getting back to your fight, was there any hesitation on your side in terms of wanting a tougher fight, or was it just kind of due to the circumstances that we had here? Did you look at this guy and go, man, I want something tougher than that, or are you just trying to get your feet wet and get boxing back?
Nah, I'm just trying to get my feet wet, get boxing back. I'm due for a fight like this. I feel like a lot of these fighters have been fighting these caliber of fighters in the last few fights, and I've been fighting like people like Chris Diaz and Joette and them type of guys, like, and these fighters been fighting the dumb caliber type of fighters, so I think that I would do for something like this also.
Yeah, I agree with that. Josh Warrington, got to bring his name up. He's another titleist that I see your face right now. Another titleist that at 126, I know you have aspirations to move up to 130, but there is still business to be taken care of at 126. If that fight can come to fruition, is that something you would want, you know, given, you know, the craziness that is going on in the world right now? Can we make that fight happen later on in the year?
Yeah, I think that's an easy fight. Like, I think that the hardest part about that fight, I think it's hard to make that fight, but I think that's an easy fight for me. I feel like he'll come forward, straight up pressure fighter. He trying to convince himself that he's a different type of pressure fighter, But I watched him. Like, he got a little smarter pressure, but it's no different than any other pressure fighter. I think that's an easy fight for me.
Yeah, pressure fighters don't exactly fare well against guys that are like you, with the defensive wizardry and the fact that you can counterpunch.
Yeah, some of them actually do. Like, some of them is good with that. But I'm a different type of counterpuncher boxer. Like, I'm actually smarter than most boxers. So with my ring IQ, I think that it kind of holds me over them guys. Them pressure fighters a lot easier.
Before I let you go and you get back to your day here in Houston, what's it like in Houston, Texas right now, given, you know, the coronavirus and some of the protests? What's everything like, and what's the next couple of days going to look like for you in terms of getting from Texas to Vegas?
I mean, it's cool. Like, it's regular. I've been enjoying myself down here, enjoying my training camp, enjoying getting ready. The only thing is, out here is hot, so it's kind of easier to lose weight. It's kind of easier to cut my weight, so it's been good though.
In terms of getting to Vegas, now what's that going to look like the next couple of days? Take us through the next couple of days of getting from Texas to Vegas and all. Like, you're gonna have family come with you? Or is it gonna be more of a tight circle given the guidelines?
It's gonna be my same team that been with me in camp, and we're gonna be flying to Vegas. I think like the 6th. So we're gonna be flying regular trip.
Are you? The question is Terrence Crawford going to come? The guy who's at all your fights, is at every top ranked fight. Are they going to let Terrence Crawford in the closed arena here in Vegas? The guy's everywhere.
Nah, they're not going to let Terrence there. I don't think so.
Oh, no.
I doubt that.
He's going to have to stay put, because that guy is at legitimately every top ranked card. No matter where it is, he shows up, and especially for you. He's a big supporter of you. You have one of the best corners and the best team, whether it's him, Andre Ward, Jay Prince. You guys, you know, you have a lot of role models to look forward to. I'm excited to see boxing back. I'm happy that you're getting the call, and you're going to be the first champion to step into the ring again. Before we let you go, your thoughts on getting back and you know, just your feelings right now. It's a crazy time in the world. And you're going to be stepping back in there, and hopefully you're going to, you know, get fans and viewers to kind of take their minds off everything that's going on.
Yeah, I'm glad that I'm going to be the first one to bring boxing back. I feel good knowing that fans is going to be watching me. A lot of fans are going to be watching me. I'm getting a bigger fan base just off of this corona thing, pandemic. So I'm glad to be back. I'm about to put on an amazing performance, an amazing show for everybody watching now.
Should go for the KO, man. That's my advice. Go for the KO. Knock this guy out. Make a statement. Show up on SportsCenter top.
He not making it out of promise.
Can you say that again?
I said he not making it out of 4 rounds. I promise.
There you go. You heard it right there from Shakur Stevenson. Thank you so much for the time. Best of luck and stay safe.
All right. Thank you.
There he was, Shakur Stevenson. A special thanks to the champ for joining us here on Inside Boxing Live. He is back on June 9th on ESPN, steps through the ropes as he brings boxing back onto television after the coronavirus. So special thanks to Shakur for joining us here on Inside Boxing Live. It's an important time here in the country. I brought up police brutality on this show. We talked about it with Shakur. And if you feel like there isn't enough, if you feel like, you know, posting something on social media is just hasn't enough and you want to donate more, then go check out campaignzero.org. Go check out Campaign Zero on Instagram. They're doing great things. If you feel like you want to donate and you feel like you're comfortable, I did a lot of research on them, and I feel like they're doing a lot, and it's something that I like. So we're going to drop it down there. Just join campaignzero.org. We're back next week with another edition of Inside Boxing Live. We'll see you next week.